Hello, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskatten here. Christian Sinners Report, daily podcast. Glad you're joining us from the United States of America. We're talking about this prophetic insight this week about nonconformity. We've been defining it. And today we close it out with this message. Nonconformity requires action. What are we supposed to do to bring about transformation, right? He's wonderful.
We say hallelujah, hallelujah, salvation and glory, oh, oh, honor and power to the Lord. For the Lord our God is mighty,
the Lord our God is mighty,
He's omnipotent,
the Lord our God is omnipotent,
the Lord.
To the King of Kings. Well, we're glad you're with us again. Thanks for joining us each and every day. Here it is. It is Thursday, the fourth day of May 2023. We're moving forward. Five tomorrow. Some of you understand Cinco de Mayo, a celebration for our Latino people, but we're thankful for this day the Lord's made. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the entire week. Been laying the foundation of what nonconformity to the ways of the world looks like and our responsibility to not conform to this corrupt nature of the world and live to Christ, follow Him. And that means you'll be on a different road, a different path than everybody else. But in that, you become a leader. I want you to understand that. You say, well, I don't have a congregation. I don't have a group. I don't have anybody following me. Yes, you do. You have no clue all the people that follow your actions. And when you are a nonconformist to the ways of the world and the ways of the enemy, you are a leader. And there is somebody, someplace, looking for somebody to demonstrate what it looks like to do that and bring about transformation in a nation, in a city, in a family, wherever it is. Well, today, one thing about nonconformity, okay, you're going to lead through being different than everybody else in the world, and you're going to be like Christ. Well, it doesn't just happen that God makes everything happen. You still have to take action. So I want to lay that out as we're closing out our story about Abraham, probably the perfect example. And yesterday I laid it out yesterday about how he laid his life down for everybody. He was his brother's keeper. Think about that. He prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, even though they were wicked. Can you pray for your nation, even though it's wicked? Or do you want to pray judgment? Okay, one of the things of being a leader is you hear the heart of the Father. He challenged God, which is probably one of the first times in Scripture we see that. He challenged God. What was it about him that allowed him to do that? So why did God call Abraham to challenge him? In other words, he created him a scenario that would require that. Why? Was there anything in Abraham that Abraham knew that God did not know? You know, that idea is kind of weird, but the answer is this. Abraham was about to become the greatest leader, one of the greatest models, an imitator of a new faith. He was starting a dynasty, a new covenant, and that it would not defend what the world was doing, what humans were doing, but it would challenge it. Look, if you're going to challenge the nation, if you're going to challenge the people around you, you've got to be able to come before the Lord and say, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you kill the righteous with the wicked? See, this is the place where you get where the Lord says, let us reason together. And that's what Abraham was doing. Abraham had to have courage to challenge God. Why? If his descendants were going to challenge human leaders, he had to be able to challenge in this situation. We see it later in Moses and the prophets. They did. If we are true believers in the kingdom, which I know we are, we will not accept the world the way it is. We disagree with the way the world is and where it's headed. We want to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. And we want the world to be the way God wants it to be, the way it should be, the way we should be walking with one another in peace and love. and honor of one another. And so this was a critical turning point in history, because Abraham births our faith as we know it today. And when you birth something like that, you challenge the world instead of accepting the world. And that's what he did. That's what Jesus did. That's what Moses did. That's what David did. That's why you have these Mosaic covenants, the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, right? And then Jesus, the new covenant. Every time you see a new covenant, another covenant, it challenges the way the world is. And we don't accept the way the world it is without outside of what God wants it to be. He wasn't your normal leader. Abraham wasn't. He never ruled a nation. There was no nation to lead, if you remember right. He was called the birth one, but he was a role model. He was somebody that we could understand why he did what he did, because he understood the world didn't need to look like that. He took responsibility, and ultimately he did what I want to talk about today. He acted. He took action. He did not wait for others to act. The scripture says in Genesis 6 that Noah walked with God, but it says in Abraham, but Abraham, God himself says, walked before me, Genesis 17:1, meaning he was a leader. He walked ahead. He took personal responsibility. He took moral responsibility. And then he took this whole thing that of standing in the gap for everybody. That's what it takes when you walk in responsibility. So if we were to follow his life, we see the story with his wife, Sarah, which is very interesting. As he goes through his life, he was constant companion. You know, he's always with her. You know, as late in his life, when she's about to die, I think that scripture said he's like 137 years old when she's about to die, but he moves into action. He needed a place to bury her. He didn't own any land. You know, you're going to have a nation. You didn't even own any land. And you know the story. It talks about it in Genesis 23. He goes to the Hittites and starts bargaining for land. They didn't want to give it to him. He pressed the issue. He would not stop. And he wanted to bury his wife where? In the land of promise. Hebron is what we would call it today. But he pressed in. He took action. God said he's going to have a nation. Well, you got to own something, right? You buy what you can, what's available. And he pushed the issue. So when we are nonconformist, we are not going to agree with the world. And when the world says, no, you shouldn't do this, we're going to say, no, we're going to do this. We're going to push forward with what God has asked us to do. And that place, Machpelah, however you say it in the Hebrew, where he bought, was obviously a very important place, because scripture details it multiple times. I think in Genesis, I think there's three times it's shared in chapters 25, 49, and 50. And each time it's shared the same way. And it speaks of the importance of that place, a field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. It talks about in Genesis 49. This is later when Jacob comes on the scene. And why? Because now it becomes the caves or the death place of the patriarchs, and everybody wants to be there. So it's a significant place. So he purchases this land, and he's getting close to the end of his life. And we see that his son doesn't have a wife, Isaac. He's about, scripture I think says he's 37 years old. Well, Abraham's not going to leave this world without his son fulfilling the promise that through Isaac, the covenant would be born and that there would be others. Here we go. Nonconformity requires action. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm talking about action. What do you want me to do? How do I do this, Lord, to get our people, my nation, where it's called to be? So he leaves nothing to chance there. You know, he takes his trusted servant. He says, look, go to my birthplace, my land and my birthplace. Find an appropriate woman for Isaac that he can share what? Share the faith with. And the way Abraham had taught him how to live. Live by the ways of the Lord. Live in that very place with God. And that's what, he wasn't going to let that just go by the wayside. He was going to take action. And as we see this whole story, You know, especially when it describes how he buys the land, it is line upon line how important it is. And the promises was to Abraham, was to him and his descendants. So he knew he had to be a great nation. And he knew Isaac had to be the one that would do that. So as we see, he moves forward. Isaac's not married, but he says, look, we're going to move forward with this. We're not going to stop. We're going to purchase land, and then we're going to find a wife for Isaac. And there's a moral here, which is that as we read this, we must understand this. God makes promises, but we have to take actions. We do. It's as we say in the prophetic, if he says it, if we will, then he will. If he says we can have it, then we got to act on it. So God promised him the land, but he had to buy his first field. Okay? So you may have to make a purchase, buy something small, whatever it is. If it's your time you spend, buy with time. Time's a commodity. If you have to buy something physical, buy it. If that's the promise that God has for you, all right? God promised Abraham many descendants, but Abraham had to assure that his son was married. How would you think he'd rest in the grave if he died and didn't know Abraham had a chance to produce the covenant and the covenant children? So he had to find somebody that he could share his life with. And where we say we have descendants of the faith, and that's what he did. So despite all the promises in the Word of God, and we know they're all yes and amen, God does not and will not ever do it all alone. He requires us to be a part of that action. He gives us that responsibility. And by doing that, we become like him. We take action like he does. God saved Noah from the flood, but Noah had to do what? He had to make an ark, right? He gave the land of Israel to the people, but they had to fight the enemies in the land. God will give everybody here. Let me tell you, when we're not conforming to this world, it takes strength. I want you to know that God will give you the strength to act, but you have to act. You can't expect him to just out of nowhere do miracles for you. We just did first fruit offering. And I tell this every year. We had a supernatural miracle this week. I mean supernatural miracle. We sowed the largest offering we have ever given, me and my wife, Susan, in first fruits. And we, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, not from somebody giving us an offering or anything, God resourced us. I got everything back plus already. And it hasn't even been a month. And I hope that happens to you. That's our prayer when we pray for you guys who give first fruits. But anyway, I just wanted to give that testimony real quick. I did the act. I gave one offering. God gave another offering back. He was so good to us. And I know that's the responsibility we all have. So he gives us the strength to do this. And what changes this world? What fulfills your destiny, what's written about you? It's not what God does for us, but what we do for God. And as we do it, he acts in his nature. And that's what makes us leaders. When you do that, you lead others to do the same. Okay, I'm about to run out of time. Probably the most important thing here is you see the future, and you know it's a long journey between here and there, and you can only reach it, and I want to say this, one act at a time, one action at a time. Little by little, we take the land. There's no shortcut. If you take a shortcut, you're going to be like Jonah. Remember, the gourd grew to shade him, and the next day is gone. That's what that will do. He acquired one single field, Abraham did, and he had one son that he continued to covenant with. Yet you don't see anywhere in Scripture there that he complained, and he never said he wasn't satisfied, because he knew he was just supposed to start something, and he left it for future generations to build upon. And that's what we are all called to do for the next generation. We may not always see the future or the fruit of our endeavors, but we must leave a legacy. But I hate to use the word legacy. We must leave a path or a pattern behind for others to do that. Like I read this somewhere. I'm not sure exactly who wrote it, but it said this. Leaders see the destination begin the journey, and leave behind them those who will continue it. That is enough to endow a life with immorality. I like that. Look, we see the destiny, we start, and we leave behind a pattern. We leave behind somebody that can carry on what God told us to start. And that includes my nation, your family, your city. We agree with that. I hope this has been a blessing to you this week. Lord, I bless everybody that's listening, taking the time to study this and agree that we are not going to conform to the ways of the world. We're going to conform to your ways. In the name of Yeshua, amen. All right, see you tomorrow. Well, thanks again for listening to our daily podcast here from Christian Center of Shreveport. Reminding you, our Isaiah 62 fast time starts next week, the 7th through the 28th. We're going to pray noon each day, Central Time in America. We'll be doing a Zoom call if you'd like. We'll let you know the contact numbers so you can do that, and you can be on with us. We have capacity doing 100 people one day. Check our website out, ChristianCentersReport.com, and our app. It tells you all about it and, of course, tells you about all that we do. Thank you for sowing. Those who gave them your first fruits, we're praying over your first fruits now. May you have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow. What an amazing testimony. I've had these things happen to me before. May they happen to you as well. Well, we went a little bit longer today. I hope you enjoyed that. Shabbat Shalom. Also remember, next week we start our Isaiah 62 fast. And we're going to be praying for Israel for 21 days at the noon hour Central Time here in America. So if you want to join us online, we'll be there praying 1 hour each day for 21 days. Okay. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Well, I apologize for being a little bit long, but it's worth it. I really don't apologize. What a great testimony. Well, Shabbat Shalom to you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on our podcast. See you later. Bye-bye.